20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Steve Perhatch. Joined by me is Trevor Jossart, Josh Zirkle. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Trev, what's up?
Hello, everybody. I got a question before we get off and running here. Did everyone buy a Mega Millions ticket? It's at $1.6 billion. Has everyone bought theirs?
You know what? There's no Mega Millions here in Alabama.
Ooh.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, the Mega Millions may or may not be claimed, but...
And once I have won, all I'm going to say is this is the only job that I will have. Then I will be doing Pack-A-Day podcasts, and I will be, you know.
Don't forget your partners.
I'm sure that's going to go over really well with my wife.
Just fly us in for one show. We'll do the one show, and we'll just take everything you own.
We'll do a show at Lambeau.
We won't take any more than we can carry, I promise. But I would have to drive like an hour north to get to Tennessee to get Mega Millions or Mega Billions as it were this week.
Mega Billions.
1.6. So, yes, hopefully you're all checking your numbers right now in the Wednesday morning. So, we're officially out of the bye week. The Packers are out of the bye.
Yep.
I guess what I want to start with, there's some breaking NFL news. Amari Cooper no longer with the Oakland Raiders. He has been traded for a first round draft pick to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
guys, I got to hear it. Reactions.
I think it's good for Dallas. When your owner is admitting that you don't have a number one wide receiver, that's bad. And you should try and go out and get one of those. And it looks like they've done that. And Oakland apparently is just tearing this thing down to the studs, which does not make a lot of sense to me, aside from the fact that Gruden has a 10-year deal. But if you're going to be that picky about a situation, to talk about the Raiders for a second, if you're going to be that picky about a situation to come back, why are you going to strip every asset off of this team to do that? Look, I know you're going to have 3-1s coming into the draft next year. You'll be able to land some inexpensive talent. You'll probably sign one or two of those guys to long-term deals, and you have some marketing ability when you get to Vegas, when you get that new stadium. But to Oakland, it's kind of disappointing for me to see because I think we're a long way away from seeing a winning team in Oakland. And Dallas, see, I think not to totally derail this thing, I thought he put himself back on the hot seat with that game against Washington. But this move tells me that there's going to be a little more leniency as they try and figure this thing out very quickly over the last 9 weeks of the season, Trevor. I don't know if you have anything to add to all of that.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll try to keep it a little shorter than that, but I like it for Dallas. I think you mentioned that too, and I'm not a big proponent in looking into draft picks as some people are. I mean, Amari was a first-rounder. He's only 24 years old. He hasn't been terrible. And he was kind of in a toxic situation over there. I thought it was a good trade. I mean, you're basically swapping a former first-round pick for someone you don't even know who you'd have at this point. I think it's a good pick. And I know, Steve, we want to talk a little bit about should the Packers have even pursued this type of trade. I kind of got an idea what our thoughts are on that, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question leading in is, we heard that, you know, Goody's calling around for, you know, making the calls, which is more than Ted Thompson kind of we heard was doing, but he's making the calls at least. But for me, that's too rich of a price to pay for somebody when you just spent draft capital on three wide receivers. You're not going to go out and spend next year's first on a wide receiver. And especially if Dallas continues to not play as well as they have, like that pick is going to be higher than the Packers. Like, it's going to be a better valued pick. So then the Packers would have had to add a first and sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick, something to sweeten it to get it over the top of Dallas's offer, which I just wouldn't have wanted to see.
And that doesn't include the money either. He was due, or he is due, $13 million next year. Now, the upside to that, if you want to call it that, is if, like, he turns out to not be a fit, in Dallas, or if that would have been the case in Green Bay, you could cut him for no dead money. But at the same time, now you're at a first-round pick, and you've got nobody to show for it either. So in terms of what we've seen Green Bay doing over the last several months with Brian Gutekunst, it doesn't make a lot of sense on that front. And I'm not sure it makes a great deal of sense for Dallas either, at least economically.
Yeah, I think if we're looking at it from that standpoint, I think the money is the main reason you don't do it if you're the Packers. And I'm not sure a first-round pick is too much just because he is a first-round pick. He hasn't been a total bust in the NFL, if you want to call it that. But I didn't know this going in, but if he's owed that much money, I mean, it's just too risky. And I mean, I think it's a good thing that the Packers stayed where they were. But like you mentioned, Steve, it's nice to see from a Packers fan standpoint that we're involved in these calls. We're going out, we're testing the waters. We're not just laying on our hands and doing nothing, I guess.
Fair, yeah. I was going to say to you, right before we get rid of all Raiders talks, how much do you want the Jags to go out and, you know, start calling the Raiders and be like, hey, well, what do we got to give you for Derek Carr?
I'd be okay with that. It's been a rough couple weeks, and the defense hasn't even looked good too. But I'm all for moving on from Blake Bortles. But they just re-signed him, so who knows what they're doing? And I guess I just gotta have to wait it out. But
yeah. That offense is so bad they just got deported. 'Cause they're playing in London this week. I just had to make that joke.
Hey, they play well in London. This might be a spark for them.
Yeah.
Other NFL news. The Arizona Cardinals' Patrick Peterson has come out saying that he wants to be traded. Now, this is something that could pique some Packers fans' interest. He's a little bit of a friendly deal now when you look at cornerbacks. It's 5 years, $70 million. He's locked up through, I believe, 2021. Is this somebody that you guys would want to go after? Or with the Cardinals being so bad, my thought is to try to go poke and take away Chandler Jones from the Cardinals. Which, if you were given a choice, which one would you guys have to make work?
Well, Jones makes a lot more sense than Patrick Peterson. And, you know, he'd be worth half of $15 million this year. And then he's got a $1.6 million dead cap number next year. But when you look at the last couple years of what the Packers have done, first of all, and you and I were talking about this off air, Steve, I think the secondary has been one of the few strong points for the defense this year. So that's number one. And then number two, most of your investment has been made in the secondary so far. So you've got Tremont Williams, who's 138 years old, playing corner, and then Kevin King, who's a second-year player on the other corner, the old man, ha-ha Clinton Dix, who was drafted all of 4 years ago, and then Kentrell Bryce, who's been in the league 3 years, and then everybody else is first and second-year players. You've got a lot of youth invested in there already, and you're going to tell those guys, well, you got to wait in line a little bit because we just spent another $7.5 million just to get Patrick Peterson for the rest of the year. Well, you still have all these other needs. Chandler Jones makes a lot more sense. That front seven could use a boost. Chandler Jones brings something to the locker room. To me, Peterson isn't it, Trevor. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
See, I get a little cautious when we talk about these young players and making sure that they're progressing right. The Packers still have Aaron Rodgers, and they need to start looking at this. I mean, he's getting old, and the window is closing before perhaps a rebuild comes in. And we have all these younger players in the secondary, and I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if Patrick Peterson came in and kind of added on to what has been the bright spot so far, like you mentioned, and just rather than trying to nitpick at what else we need, let him come in as a veteran and mentor these young players and help out the secondary even more and add on to a strong part so that they can make a run at a division title, can make a run in the playoffs. I think either one is a good bet, but I'm a big fan of Peterson. I just think he's an exciting player. He has some big playmaking ability, and I don't know. I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, I mean, there's caveats with all of these deals because it is something that they'd have to make money work. So, you know, somebody would have to restructure a contract in order to fit these guys in. So, right. Obviously, these are much more unlikely, but, I mean, they're always just fun topics to kind of banter around with. But
do you feel like Gutekunst, Steve, do you feel like he has to make one of these deals? Do you think he has to close and sort of make a free agent splash? Because I don't think Jimmy Graham qualified for that. What are your thoughts on making a deal? I mean, whether it's this year or next offseason, how do you feel about, like, does he have to do
I don't think he has to. I mean, I just think he's smart enough to know if the right deal is there at the right price. I mean, they needed the tight end. Jimmy Graham was available, wanted to be there, yeah. Didn't have to extremely overpay, I don't think, for the tight end value. I mean, that was a good signing, I think, but I don't believe he's going to do something just to make a big splash move.
Yeah, I think that's what makes a good general manager. A good general manager is everyone wants as a fan for these guys to go out and get the biggest name players and stuff, but it's finding the right guy at the right value that you know wants to be there, can help the team. And I think that's what he believed in Jimmy Graham. And I don't know if this is living up to expectations so far. I'd like to say I think he's a little bit below, but again, not the worst thing in the world considering the deal and all that. So, but I would like to see him active. Like I said before, this is Aaron Rodgers' last couple go around, so it's time to get him what he needs.
Definitely makes sense. But so Packers are officially back from the bye week. So they're back. They're playing the Rams this week. They're actually bumping their schedule up a little bit early so they can head out to LA early, a day earlier. So we got to hear from Mike McCarthy, and I don't know if you guys heard this, but he took some time to do a self-scout on the Packers.
Ooh.
And yeah, I know. So a deep dive into the Green Bay Packers by Mike McCarthy.
Introspection.
Mm-hmm. And guess what he figured out? They need to run the ball more.
He needs to love himself.
They're 30th in the league in rush attempts. And this, I mean, I know they don't share a lot of info, but come on. It's some level that you have to just talk a little bit about some of the things that they need to do. Just be honest, because the fact that you did a self-scout and the biggest thing you came away with was that the offense needs to run the ball more. Like, everybody's been yelling that for the whole season.
Well, and then you present that as some sort of revelation that you had to, you know, expend some number of man hours to determine. You needed a whole bye week to figure that out. And that's one of those things where you just look like an idiot. I'm sorry. Like, people in your ear, you want to act like you are so much smarter than the rest of the room, and then that is your big revelation, which you come away with. He's either trolling us or he's an idiot, and I don't know which, and it doesn't matter to me, quite frankly.
I don't have a lot to say on that. I agree. Where did this come from? This is just, I think this is obvious. I know there's different perspectives from a coach for a fan, but come on, like, it's right there. I don't know why we need a self. What is it called?
It's a self scout. So you know, like,
bye week.
So like how you scout another team, like, before you get ready, then you basically scout yourself.
Watch practice
all their games. I'm assuming went back through the
okay.
Realize that hey, we have this special running back named Aaron Jones, and I'm having him on the sidelines for the second half of games because he missed a block.
So do we think things will change then going forward?
No, I don't. He's not. I mean, he does. They do what they want to do. And I mean, Jones will probably start to get a little bit more of an uptick, but they seem very comfortable with a 3-man rotation and running back. They all bring different things, and he likes that. And he all thinks they're all about even, which I don't know why, but.
Well, it makes sense with the matchup when you look at the Rams, and like the only weakness the Rams really have had is stopping the run. And then, you know, they faced a good running team. It wasn't Chicago, but it was somebody else. But, you know, they were giving up like 100-plus yards a game. And then I think the last week, not San Francisco, but the week before that, they managed to put the kibosh on that. Although I don't think Breida did much against them either. So when you look at the matchup, it makes a lot of sense to talk about the run and look at the run. I mean, like we've all been saying, it's something they should be doing anyway. But will we see that this week? I certainly hope so, because that's the only shot you're going to have at beating the Rams, who have been just kicking everybody's butt up and down the field. You've got to run the ball against this team. Everybody's got to run. You know, you unload the cannons at this point, and you make sure everybody gets a bunch of touches, and you get a lot of volume against a Rams defense that will give it up against the run.
So we are coming off the bye week, which means Packers have gotten a little bit of rest. We haven't seen an injury report obviously just yet, but all signs are pointing towards Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison being back. So the next question, I kind of want to talk to you guys, see what your feeling are. Where are you on this wide receiver group? Do you think there should be looking to add somebody, or, you know, how do you feel since the beginning of the year? Where do you stand with the wide receivers?
Oh, I felt like they were pretty strong as a group going into the season, and I've got to give credit to Davante Adams. I think that what he's been able to do in the first half by himself, without having Randall Cobb on the other side of the field to sort of take coverage away from him, 557 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's been the leader of that group, and when you've got Randall Cobb coming back, then now you've got two leaders is what I feel like, and they're only going to get better. You know, as the season goes on, you know, they haven't made a lot of big plays, but they haven't shot themselves in the foot either. They haven't had a lot of turnovers. The wide receiver group, I think, has been a big part of that. We saw that in the Monday night game before they went on the bye, and then Mason Crosby redeemed himself. So I'm feeling pretty good about it right now, Trevor. I don't know that this group has anywhere to go but up. And Davante Adams, I think, is going to be more the focal point even when Randall Cobb comes back.
Yeah. They're looking pretty good right now. I always see it as there's always someone out there that can probably help you. And I mean, it, like I said before, if it's for the right value, the right price, why not look to add help? I think that, I don't know who mentioned it, I think it was Steve earlier, that we should just, you know, unload the cannons and go all in at this point when you have Aaron Rodgers. But again, they don't need to overspend for anybody. If someone's willing to come for the right price, I think take a shot. There's nothing wrong with having a deeper core.
So yeah, they're for me, I think the same way you guys kind of just said. I mean, with getting those two guys back, then we're back to the normal depth chart of Davante, Randall, Geronimo, and then you can vote MVS at number 4 and EQ at number 5. Kind of, you know, those both of them stepped up and played pretty well in their absence. So I mean, I think you got to feel a lot better than you did at the start of the season, because there, outside those three, there were question marks, and everybody said, well, if anybody gets injured, what the hell are we going to do? And they went down, the two rookies stepped up, you know, had a couple growing pains, but they still made some great plays,
right?
And, you know, stepped up. So wide receivers getting healthy. I think a bigger thing, too, we haven't touched on, cornerbacks are getting healthy. So it looks like Jaire Alexander hopefully should be ready to go. Kevin King should be ready to go. Josh Jackson's starting to make a couple plays here and there. I mean, all things are kind of pointing up right now for the Packers as they get to their hardest game of the year.
They're what do you guys think? What's point
your thoughts, Josh, on cornerbacks?
Cornerbacks, you know, it's like I said, it's a young group. It's a young group except for, you know, the ghost of Tremont Williams. But, again, you haven't seen a lot of big plays. They've learned a new defense this year. I think Mike Pettine leaps and bounds better than what we were seeing from Dom Capers a year ago. I'd like to see him pressure the quarterback a little bit more. I'd like to see him a little stronger against the run. I think they're like in the 20 to 25 if you look at those category rankings. But the secondary by itself, I love this group in terms of everything else you have to offer on the field. To me, it's a strong group and the highlight of the defense so far this year.
I think everyone's concerns going into this year was defense. And to me, I think they're holding their own and they're giving the team a chance. They're not blowing the game wide open for the other team. So, and I think we can all agree on, for the Packers to really take that next step this season, they just need more balance on offense. They need to run the ball more. And hopefully McCarthy and his self scout saw that, and we'll be seeing it a lot more starting this week against probably the best team in the NFL.
All right. So we're going in 3-2-1 versus the Rams 7-0. And you start looking at the next couple of games and man, this is like a murderer's row here. So we got the Rams, then away, the Patriots away.
Yep.
Then they're home against the Dolphins, away against the Seahawks, away against the Vikings, home Cardinals, home Falcons, away Bears, away Jets. Like that, I'm sorry, but I feel like if you're going to make the playoffs, you kind of got to steal one of the next two games. And it's going to be a really tough task. But, I mean, this schedule is brutal. What are your guys, Josh, what are you thinking for the schedule for the end of the, like the last part of the year?
Well, and the Dolphins aren't a layup either. I mean, this could be a serious skid if you're not careful. And you look at this and you would think 8-8's a good finish, but they have a tie, so they can't finish 8-8. So maybe this is like a 7-7-2 finish that we might have here. If you can get a tie against the Dolphins. And look, those four road games, the Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Vikings, you know, you talk about stealing one of the first two. If you steal one of those four, I think you're in great shape. At 9-7, may not win this division. It depends on how you do against Minnesota. I mean, they're only a game behind, too. That you have to consider also. But the first four of those road games and then the Dolphin game in the middle there, you come out of there 1-5, or I would say 2-3. 2-3 would be exceptional at this point. I have them finishing 0-4-1 during that stretch. To finish 7-7-2 on the year, because that's where I see this team right now. It's a tough stretch, Trevor. I don't see them doing much better.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. I'm not giving them one win out of those four road games that you mentioned, which would be what, Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Vikings. Right. However, they still have a chance to make some noise if they take care of their home field games and they take care of those games that are basically either coin flips or they're favored in. Cardinals, they need to take care of. You know, they had that game against the 49ers that they almost let slip away. Those are games you have to take care of.
Yeah.
And that's how you kind of get ahead of the pretenders in the league, is you don't fall to teams you're not supposed to. So I think the Packers can do that. I think they can handle the Dolphins. I think they can handle the Cardinals. I think the Lions and Bears are all winnable games. Jets, obviously. But
now, Steve, this is where
those road games.
Steve, this is where you come in and say, well, the Patriots defense not so good. You got to be the ray of sunshine here. That's your job right now. Russell Wilson's not been doing so great. Legion of Boom is an old and finished. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's unfortunately, normally I am the ray of sunshine about how the Packers are going to be amazing, and they just haven't proven it to me this year. They're wildly inconsistent, and I've stopped, like, banking on the fact that they're going to come back. I can't do it right now because it's too many question marks for me. I do think they will take one of the two games, the Rams or the Patriots. I think it's going to shock a lot of people, but I think they'll come back. It'll be, you know, a kind of like a Chiefs Patriots where it was like 43-40, but you know, I think it'll kind of come down to that. But before we run out of time, boys, all I want to point out before that is that the Bears started in first place on Sunday, and they are now statistically in last place on Monday. So the Bears still suck. The Packers are alive and well in the North.
All is right in the world.
All is right in the world. You guys got any parting shots you want to throw in before we head out?
No, I just wish we did this more than once every 2 weeks. I feel like you guys disappear on me, and then it's like you come back, and then it's like the lemmings. Like we run over the cliff together, and then that's it. That's my
I'm looking forward to splitting my $1.6 billion Pack-A-Day podcast.
Parties in Wichita.
Even if you're listening to this episode, you can have some of it too if I do end up winning.
Oh, okay. That's like contractually binding now.
Yeah, so that's right.
Aware of that. Okay.
Promo code Trev knows.
God, I hope I don't win.
All right, boys. Well, it's been fun. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day podcast. You'll catch us back here in 2 weeks again, and hopefully we'll be talking about some Packers victories. For Trevor, for Josh, I'm Steve. Go Pack, go.